Yes, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another brand new Rugby Muscle podcast live Q&A edition. How are we all doing this beautiful Friday morning? Hopefully you can't hear the kids screaming in the background, and if you can, hopefully you can just blank them out. We are going to go live for about, I want to say 40 minutes. We will see, because I might be interrupted because your boy has got a bit of a loose stomach and we might have to cut this podcast short literally because of that. Otherwise, I will be rattling through the questions that we've been asked on the Rugby Muscle Athletes Facebook page. For those that don't, I have Facebook. I've got another one that's been asked on the YouTube, and that is another way to get those questions in. It actually works really well. And I've actually got some really good questions this week, so I look forward to getting into those. Before I do that, though, as usual, thumbs up. Really does help. It helps, even in the Facebook group itself, it helps get to everybody's live feeds. In the podcast, 5-star reviews, of course, are always, always, always welcome. And if you're watching on YouTube, again, thumbs up, subscribe if you're new. We've got lots of new stuff coming out on the YouTube that I'm really looking forward to getting out there. Thanks to the growth of the podcast itself, it's given me a lot more time to really reinvest back into the quality and the information that I can keep giving out here for free. Speaking of giving out information for free, rugby-muscle.com, you can pick up 50 free rugby conditioning sessions. You can pick up your macronutrients to get you started. You can pick up a supplement guide if you so wish. And you can find out all the information about all the stuff that we do as part of Rugby Muscle, or that I do, really, as part of Muscle, with a little bit of help. But what I do as part of Rugby Muscle and how I could potentially help you go forward. So before I get into that, let's go into the 5-star reviews. I'm going to pick one at random. Today I will go for Boar 2.0, he says, simple and effective 5-star review. TJ does a good job of laying out his topic and goes through the obvious and not so obvious, rambles a bit, but not that bad. Oh, fuck you. Actually, I'm not going to read it. No, I'm going to carry on. He states the big point, then expands on it. Give it a listen and you'll come back for the next one. Yeah, that's why we do a podcast. If it was just literally easy answers, I wouldn't have to do podcasts. I could do everything on Instagram posts. You would know exactly what you needed, and then you wouldn't need any more. But the problem is all this stuff needs context, and it's we want to make it as simple as possible, but because of the amount of variables that get involved with the majority of things when it comes to nutrition, training, lifestyle, all these things that you can do to help you as a rugby player, there are just so many things that go into it that we need to really expand upon it. And then sometimes, like, I don't really take too many notes on this stuff, so, or if any. Like, for example, I've just got the questions here, so I just, especially for the questions that go off the top of my head. I might ramble a bit, but that's because there's so many different areas that we can discuss, and I want to keep it that way. Getting a little bit better at rambling, though, right? God damn it. Boar 2.0, you're making me self-conscious. All right, let's get into the questions, shall we? Oh, once again, if you ask any questions on the live stream itself, on the Rugby Muscle Athletes Facebook page, I will get to those definitely within the live stream. So always a good place to, if you haven't thought about asking a question, or if you've got a question that's in your head, you can pop those up and they will come out and they will be answered at the end. So first question comes in from the YouTubes. It comes from Ralph Flex again. Shout out to my boy Ralph Flex. He's commented on a couple of these now. He says, when building your strength, will you most likely also get a little bit of size with it? Most likely, yes. Definitely, we cannot say no. Obviously, there are a couple mechanisms to strength. So, for example, if you're working in very much in the low rep ranges, that requires a lot more neuro adaptation. So essentially you just have a more efficient muscle, and therefore that efficient muscle is able to fire more efficiently and produce more force without being bigger, right? Because it's more efficient. It's the same size, so you don't get the size growth of it, but that's when we're working in a low sort of rep range, or if we're doing short strength, quote unquote, work. So that would be anywhere between 1 to 5 reps. Once you start going above 5 reps, that neural strength sort of advantage no longer stays with you, and therefore most of your strength gains from five reps or above comes from and actually having a bigger muscle, because you've got more units to fire, right? So low end strength, there is a good deal of neuroadaptation, meaning the same units fire more efficiently. Higher rep, the more volume you do, the more work that you do, the more you rely on not just the efficiency of the neurons itself, but the number, because you're going to tax each one as you go. Another thing that taps into, or that should be brought into this discussion when we're talking about getting stronger without getting bigger, is things like power, explosivity, and definitely like movement control or technique or skill. That movement control, that skill, and technique, the technical ability, especially when we're talking about like complex things like sprinting or like doing the actions that you would do in rugby, you could come across as being stronger because you are more efficient at the movement as well. So it's not the muscles themselves that are more efficient, it's you now that's more efficient. You'll see this a lot with Olympic lifters or even power lifters, where they will do, you think how simple power lifters have it, where all they do is squat, bench, and deadlift. You think those are really, really simple movements, yet they will train those techniques time and time and time again, even at lighter loads, because of the more technically better they get at those movements, the more quote unquote stronger they appear to be, because they move that bar along the perfect path so that they can utilize the maximum amount of strength as they can. If that bar goes off the path because of poor technique, then they need like the actual muscular strength in order to complete that movement. Likewise, if you are doing the same thing with rugby, like with you will have all played against a guy who's really skinny, but he might have bumped us off because he's put us off balance, or he's smashed us in a ruck because he's got really good ruck technique. Or if you've come across wrestlers in the US who appear to be really strong, but they're just technically superior because they know all the movements, they know exactly where they should be. That, again, comes down to their movement quality and their skill quality, because if it was just a case of bludgeoning, the bigger person would always win, right? But it's not always the case. So it's the case of who's technically superior as well with all this stuff. And so, for the most part, when you're trying to build strength, you'll get some size with it. But at the same time, just because you're getting stronger does not necessarily mean that you're getting bigger, which is a little bit... The problem with that statement is that like one of the best ways to measure that you're getting bigger is to see the weight in the gym. It's very difficult to tell on the scale, because even if you're gaining like a pound of muscle a month, which is phenomenal, think about that, 12 pounds in a year is actually really, really good progress to make as far as actually adding muscle to your frame goes. However, you could see that in numerical form on weight on the bar. And therefore, if you're getting stronger, I would say if you're getting stronger in a 5 to 15 rep range consistently, then that will be due to actually getting bigger. But, it doesn't necessarily work like that. Final thing I'll say on this in terms of building size, a lot more than strength, requires fuel, right? You actually need to construct muscle. You actually need to build muscle. It doesn't just come from thin air. What does it come from? It comes from the food that you take in. So if you're doing quote unquote just strength work in the 1 to 5 rep range, but you're eating a shit ton, there's a good chance you can also grow some muscle. Now, once you get like really advanced, that might not happen, but I've seen it happen with Olympic weightlifters, where they move up a weight class and they get bigger and stronger, but they get so much stronger because of they've given themselves more potential. Size of a muscle in general is more about the potential strength it could give you. So that's why they have weight classes in combat sports. That's why they have weight classes in strength sports, because the bigger you are, the it's not an unfair advantage, but you have an advantage from that size. And therefore, they level the playing field out by creating weight classes so that you, in an ideal world, your strength is capped. Doesn't quite work out like that. If you look at Khabib, who's fighting this weekend, appears to be so much stronger than every single one of his opponents. That could also, though, be though a perfect example of that. What I was talking about at the beginning of this question, where we're talking about the technique and the skills making it appear as though you are significantly stronger. Khabib just seems to have like the perfect technique. He has an answer for everything, and therefore people feel like they're weak when they're wrestling against him because he is so technically superior to them, like to them in his wrestling game. So hopefully that nails that question. In terms of if you want to build size of your strength, I would do stuff in the 5 to 15 rep range, if not a little bit more. If you're worried about that interfering with your strength work, that's just part of the game. Just make sure that you're fueling yourself enough, and you would go from there. And if you're relatively new, if you're not an advanced trainer, I think you can do the majority of your work in the 3 to 5 rep range to build strength and just fuel yourself enough, and size will come along with that. It becomes difficult because you do need a certain amount of tension to build muscle. All right, next question. So we will get into it. What guided meditation apps, books do people recommend for a total beginner? Just unlocked 10 to 15 minutes in my morning routine and want to see if meditation will suit me. I answered this question on the group, but I gave a really good link to a phenomenal video from my buddy Yusuf from Propane Fitness. I'm actually going to put this in the show notes as well below. Can I put a comment on it? I'm not going to comment on the Facebook group, but I'll put this in the show notes. I want to go over this question quite well because meditation, I do think, is one of the things that can make an absolute significant difference to your ability to essentially be more disciplined, but do everything better. It makes everything better. The problem with meditation is it's a really, really difficult sell because of the woo-woo-ness surrounding it. And also, so you've got woo-woo-ness surrounding it, right? You've also got like very intangible benefits. It's very difficult for me to explain to you exactly what it does to make you better. Like I've just said, it improves everything because it does. It essentially improves your ability to endure discomfort and to be just happier. Now, exactly, right? Your listeners are like, what the fuck does that even mean? I don't want to do this. It's also difficult because to persuade people to do it, because it's just like, you know, it's something that the brain really doesn't want to do, right? You really don't want to spend 15 to 20 minutes, because I'll get into that timing why in a minute, but 15 to 20 minutes doing nothing. The brain, especially in this day and age where we've got Instagram, we've got social media, we've got the world at our fingertips on our phone, right? We've got the whole world on our there, that we never get bored. We could constantly be distracted. That's just not something that, so our brains are sort of spoiled by that. So our brains don't want to sit down and do nothing for 15 to 20 minutes. And they will put up as many barriers as you can, because our brains are in control of us. And that's really the essence of meditation, is to take control of your brain and be in charge of your own, you know, or be more relaxed and not be at the whims of your monkey brain. It helps you take control of your monkey brain. And by monkey brain, I mean that, you know, you have three sort of brains. You have an emotional monkey brain, which is like the evolutionary, like very irrational sort of, where's the book? I've read this book before, but the monkey mind is the emotional part of the brain where, you know, we're very quick to get angry, we're very quick to get snappy, we're very quick to get sad or happy or whatever. Then we've got an analytical part of our brain, and we've got a processing part of our brain. So essentially what this does is it helps you quiet down that crazy emotional monkey brain to actually take control of your life. And it sounds like, again, it sounds so woo-woo, it sounds really difficult to define, it sounds like really, do I need to buy into this? I absolutely do believe it. I think it makes you happier. I think it makes you more relaxed. I think it gets you into a good mental state to do anything that you want to do. But really, the more relaxed you are, the better your ability is to grow muscle. So I do think that it helps with the sports performance. And then the more relaxed you are on a day-to-day basis, the less threatened you feel, the more calm you'll be in game situations. Like, it definitely helps you prepare for that. The more efficiently you'll be able to like re-calm yourself down in a hectic game as well. I really do believe it makes every I think it makes a big difference. So hopefully you didn't hear that burp. I told you my stomach's not doing too good. So I think absolutely meditation is something that everybody should be doing, but I understand it's a difficult sell. So it's hard to sort of persuade people, but it is something that you should do. Now, in terms of like getting an app or a book to recommend, that kind of like there is the problem is one of those with meditation. It's one of those things that you really have to learn by doing it. There is no perfect time to start meditating. There is no perfect way to meditate. There are several, like hundreds, thousands of different like guided meditations that you could choose from that all work for people. People enjoy all of them. But I think what I'll put is that video that I linked for the best tip to get to start with your meditation. But essentially, that would be a good start. And the other good start would be to just to set a timer for 20 minutes. Now, 20 minutes seems like an extraordinarily long time, but that's the point. If you can do 2 weeks at 20 minutes, you will find a benefit. The problem with doing these 5 to 10 minutes of meditation, like apps and things like that, is that you don't get the effect. You don't feel the effect. They're too easy. It's almost like doing, you know, 3-minute abs where someone says, oh, I went to the gym and I tried this 3-minute ab routine. And obviously the idea of that 3-minute ab routine is to get people to go to the gym and stop them from thinking it's so hard. But reality is you've got to do something a little bit more than 3-minute abs to see a result. Same thing applies to meditation. You've probably got to do a little bit more than just 5 minutes listening to Headspace. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I think you actually need to take the time out, take 20 minutes out. And that's the point, right? The more the challenging it seems, the more resistance builds up. And the more resistance builds up, like that's more, that should be telling you, actually, you've got to do more meditation. And I find this regularly for myself that I keep putting my meditation into my morning routine. And then something will happen whereby my monkey brain or whatever, there's resistance there that makes me not want to do it in the morning. I try and persuade myself to do it in the afternoon. That tells me that I should be meditating because it tells me there's too much stuff going on in my brain that I need to just take 20 minutes just to sit down and calm the fuck down and really like take control of my own thoughts. Now, I do like the waking up course. I think he also does 10 minutes, but I don't think it's I think it starts quite well, but I do think that runs its course quite quickly, and then gets to a point where you just have to sit down and relax. But Sam Harris's Waking Up is pretty decent. Insight Timer is good. They have a million different types of guided meditation that can help. Find one that works for you and stick with it. That would be how I would say. Really, just set a clock for 20 minutes and just once you've got the idea of what you want to try and achieve, whether you're focused on your breath, whether you're focused on something else or whatever it is, once you've got a good routine down, stick with that for, you know, a month and then maybe look to change after that, because there are different ways there are different meditation types that give you slightly different benefits. And I think it's sort of like sports periodization where, you know, once you've got good at one area, like for example, once you've got good at mindfulness, which is where you're really trying to pay attention to everything, you then get better at insight meditation, right? Or you're held back by your insight meditation. You try and pay attention to nothing. I can't remember which way around it goes. I'm not a meditation expert. I just am a big believer in it. But there are different types of meditation, right? There are times where you can only focus on different things. And point being is that once you've tapped one resource out and you've got into a really good flow with that, you might be better served then to switch on to a different type. Same like, you know, if you've just been doing strength work for 6 months, maybe you're better off switching out and doing some hypertrophy, or doing speed work or whatever, you know. Or then you build out a more comprehensive training plan, you build out a more well-rounded physique, a more well-rounded performing body. Same for meditation. Hi guys, I just wanted to jump in here to tell you that if you're enjoying this podcast and you want to become a better athlete, then you can go ahead and visit rugby-muscle.com and pick up any of our free goodies. That is the 50 free rugby conditioning sessions, the physique nutrition crash course video series, the supplement guide, and newly added is a macro calculator. Yes, that's right, a macro calculator where you will be able to work out your protein, carbs, fat, and calories that you should be eating on a daily basis to give you a guide as to where to start your diet from. This will help in conjunction with your 50 free conditioning sessions to build you out a decent little plan that will enable you to take control of your training and use effective training and nutrition to become a better athlete. All that stuff and more can be found at rugby-muscle.com or rugby-muscle.com/macros for the macro breakdown. And yeah, don't overthink it. Just the biggest thing would be to do it every day, because that will make your life better. Next question comes in from, not that bloody annoying kid shouting outside, comes from Cadence, who says, "Hey TJ, started listening to the podcast this week and I'm loving it. Do you have any advice on how to split your workouts? Lowers and uppers day, total body all the time? ? Also, if you have any workout ideas, I'd be down to hear those too." Again, this is, I seem to answer this question a fair bit. The reality is with training is that there is no split it's the last thing that you actually need to consider after you consider everything else. Because it's funny, because people like think that they read so much into training splits like it's actually, that's the thing that makes a difference. Whereas actually, like, what are you doing in those training splits? Like, that way you can actually make a better decision onto what sort of split you should do, right? If you're doing lots of speed work, then you kind of have to do full body, because you're only, if you're doing 2 or 3 days of absolute out and out speed work, you have to do your resistance work almost all in one session, or all in your full body at the same time. Not when you're doing that speed work. Likewise, if you're just doing gym work, and if you're only doing like either heavy, or if you're just doing compound lifts, or if you're just doing like stuff in the weight room work, like hypertrophy work or whatever, you might be better off doing an upper body, lower body, because you want to get in so much volume that you're going to be sore on your upper body for a couple of days, so you want to give that a couple of days rest. And lower body, same thing. And therefore, you know, it would just make more sense to do an upper lower split. But this is only done once, number one, you figured exactly what you want to do. Like, what do you want to do to improve? Do you want to do strength work? Do you want to do, like, what's going to be your high days? What's going to be your low days? Number two, how are you going to go about doing that? So, you know, what do you want to improve? What are the most important things that you need to improve? Then how are you going to go about doing that? So then you start to figure out the things that you need to do first. You get them in, and then you might realize, oh crap, I'm not able to work all of these things at the same time. Particularly when you look at number three, which is your schedule. How many actual sessions can you consistently make in a week? Don't kid yourself into saying that you're going to be able to train twice a day, when after 2 weeks you realize that that's just too much for your life. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, just get yourself in for the minimum. Like, what's the minimum amount of sessions that you can make? Building a program that fits in those sessions, okay? So if you can only really realistically make 4 sessions a week, it's absolutely fine. But don't program yourself a 5-day split, because that's just gonna come back and bite you in the ass, because you're not gonna be able to make all 5 days, and then the routine gets out of sync, just doesn't work quite well. So figure out what's the minimum amount of sessions that you can make in a week, and then divide out the work that you've got to do in those days. Now, I mentioned high low. This is by far the best way to get the benefit of all the different areas that we want to improve for rugby and for our physique and for our performance in general, is to have high stress days, low stress days. So on our high stress days, that's when we work up to 100% of our capacity, not in terms of like pushing ourselves like a tough strongman workout that leaves us really tired the next day, but in terms of like speed work where we need to be 100% fresh in order to do it, or power work, we need to be 100% fresh in order to do it. What else? Yeah, like top end strength work where we need to be close to 100% fresh in order to do this. I do my highly stressful things on the same day. Rugby training would also be absolutely a high stress day, not because rugby training is necessarily always high stress in itself, but if it is, then that impact, you know, and you've actually got a high stress day the day after your rugby training, then you're not going to be 100%. You're going to be fatigued because maybe you lost your game, or maybe because the coach decided that you were going to do really taxing fitness stuff like on the Tuesday. Then if your high day was the Wednesday, you're not going to be able to perform at that high capacity because you're going to be so fatigued from your rugby training. So I would split into two or three high days, the rest low or medium days. If you can, again, even if you're doing hypertrophy, you would have two like days where you know that you've got to be a little bit recovered for, that are a little bit harder than the other days. And the other days could be medium. If you're only doing like weight room work, that would be fine. But you would have 2 days where you'd really target, like you'd look in your schedule, you look at your workout log, you'd be like, right, yeah, those are the days that I need to be on the money. And you just go into it and work out after that what would be the best way to organize this training throughout the week. There is no perfect routine. There is no, like, I can't give you any workout ideas because I don't really know what you want to improve. If you want to improve your conditioning, rugby-muscle.com. Or if you want to get all round better as an athlete, Team Rugby Muscle would be the thing I would push you towards. Or if it's, you know, if you've got unique problems that you want to solve, or if you just want to have someone in your corner, rugby-muscle.com/elite. Where you would hire me as your actual coach, and therefore you would get your training completely organized around your life, around your problems that you have, around the goals that you want to achieve, around the equipment, the gym availability, which again might be important to you right now if we're back into another lockdown. We would still be able to achieve everything that you want to achieve in the long term as a rugby player. So yeah, That's how I split the workouts. There is no perfect day. The only other thing I would say is I do like to train. If we are training rugby and if we are having like high-low days, I'd like to train on my rugby days. I like to do high-intensity stuff on the rugby days because that's going to give you your best bang for your buck. You're already going to be stressed like physically from your rugby training. So rather than try to get any really tough, difficult, meaningful training on your quote unquote low days, or your days that you aren't in the days that you're supposed to be recovering from your rugby, I would just place them on the rugby days. Maybe you hit the gym, or you hit and do some speed sessions before your rugby. Maybe you wake up in the morning and you hit the gym the day of your rugby. But that way, you're not overly fatigued from the gym when you get into the rugby practice, and you're not overly fatigued from your rugby practice when you go to the gym the next day when you're trying to do really heavy strength work. Okay, David Thompson asks, okay, he says, in the UK, it seems unlikely that there'll be any meaningful club rugby until next season. I'm assuming he's talking about 2021, like the summer. How would you break down the time between now and then to get the most out of the time available? So, really important thing here is motivation, I think, is the biggest thing that we want to sort of crack open. Because, there is no rugby. It's, you know, a long-term plan can keep us motivated, but we'd really make sure to set some short-term goals. And I think for the next 3 to 5 months, maybe, you know, 3 months, I think, is a good sort of time period. I'd focus on all the things that rugby usually interferes with. That would be gaining muscle, creating a really good essentially physique. I would look at the rugby physical preparation pyramid that's on YouTube, and I'd really work the shit out of everything at the bottom, because usually, you know, you have to fuel yourself if you're in a, particularly if you're in the UK where you've got a long grinding season that lasts from August till fucking June now, or August till May. I would look at like really having the time to build out a physique, because normally you can't focus too much on fat loss during the season, because you've got to make sure that you're fully fueled up for a rugby game every Saturday, like for 9 months out of the year. Likewise, you can't focus on gaining muscle for 9 months out of the year, because you've, you know, you can't be sore heading into a game on Saturday. And you could also view the same thing if you're someone that's competing for a position for your Tuesday and your Thursday training sessions. You know, your coach isn't gonna pick you because or pick you even though you perform poorly at training, because you told him, don't worry, coach, it's just because I'm sore from my workout the day before. Like, he's not going to give a fuck. He's going to pick the other guy instead. So all that stuff interferes with, like, creating a physique that you really want to then take to the field and have it perform its best. And so I would set some physique goals. I'd really make sure that, you know, spend a couple months gaining muscle, maybe a month losing fat, or vice versa, or whatever. But I'd really focus on some quality body recomposition. And essentially, I would train that way. I would train a little bit more sort of bodybuilder-esque with some quality aerobic work in there, which, again, if there are bodybuilders that are trying to lose fat, they will do the same thing anyway. But I would focus on that, unless you are really, really slow, in which I would spend a lot of time. But then even then, you could do your aerobic work as tempo work, and you would, you know, really work your speed technique whilst developing your aerobic system. I think that was something that would absolutely be fine and give you, you know, the benefit of both of those worlds. So that would also then keep you motivated, because it's not something that you've got to see week to week on a rugby pitch. Sometimes when you're improving as a rugby player, you know, it's difficult to see it just in the gym. It's something that you only experience. I can think of a few good examples of guys in Team Rugby Muscle and Rugby Muscle Elite where they made significant progress over lockdown, this previous lockdown in 2020, but they weren't really sure. And sometimes there are a few times where I had to talk them off the fence and I'd say, listen, you're doing great. Trust me, you're going to see this when you get back to preseason. And it was only when they went to preseason, they were like, holy shit, I have got so, so, so much better. But you don't really know that until you get back to training. Now, if you're having to do that from now, which we're in, you know, October right now when I'm recording this live stream, if you're having to do that for 11 months, that's definitely possible. But you'd have to be very accountable. You would have to be very focused on what you want to improve. And, you know, even then, it's still going to be a challenge, right? But yes, come September, you could be like a completely new athlete. And I do think that's the approach you want to take, but you want to then break that down. You say, okay, for these next 3 to 4 to 5 months, I'm focusing on solely my physique. And then I'm knowing that once I've got that physique, I can then make it perform so much better. Now, if you look at the bottom and the base of the rugby physical preparation pyramid, you'll understand that for the most part, just having a better physique, for most of you listening, for most amateurs, rugby players, having a better physique is going to, like, as standard, make you a better player. It's going to give you the potential to do all the things that you already did as a rugby player better anyway. And therefore, you're going to be a better player. Then you can spend short periods of time in that middle rung. I wouldn't worry about that top end of, like, the mental toughness or the overly specific things that have to do with rugby, because you can only gauge whether you're improving those, like, whilst you're playing rugby. And those are the areas, like, for example, like, real top end speed or top end, like, maybe strength work, but more top end, like, specialist stuff that really, like, quote unquote, functional training. You'll lose that stuff faster than you'll get it back, or you'll lose that fast stuff, like, pretty fast. And so if you do that stuff like 3 months away from a rugby season, and then you focus on some other areas, that stuff that you've done 3 months away from the rugby season sort of just drops off, and you don't have any rugby to take advantage of that. And then therefore, when you get back to rugby, you're like, oh, that was a waste of time. Better to do it closer to the rugby season to make sure that you're making those improvements. And that could be so many different areas. It's just difficult to sort of, and now I'm getting self-conscious about that bloody podcast review that gave me said I ramble a lot, but this is the point, right? So many different areas that you can focus on, and it's very nuanced. So if you really, like, this is the time to really sit yourself down, potentially book a consultation with your boy, or join Rugby Muscle Elite, or have someone else do the thinking, where you just say, look, I am going to be dedicated for this entire time. How I do that, I'll leave that up to what Team Rugby Muscle throws at me, or what TJ throws at me. I think that would be a really good way, because there are so many different ways you could try and get it perfect. And probably what's going to happen for the most of you, like, who's created themselves a 5-month program or a year long program, and they've created themselves and they've thought, yeah, this is going to be perfect, and then 2 weeks in they've gone, life's gotten in the way. So the most important thing is to actually stick at it. There is no perfect program to do now. It's just what is meaningful to you, what's going to keep you motivated, what's going to keep you consistent in the long term. Okay, so, you know, again, staying injury free through that time is also going to be a vitally important thing, but the most part is staying consistent. What's going to keep you consistently showing up and improving as a athlete for a whole year in order to, like, and if you could do that, like, dude, you're going to be on such a better place compared to most people who've come out of lockdown worse, particularly if we're going back into another lockdown, you know, particularly if there's no rugby. People are going to find other stuff. And really, like, this is where that bottom rung of the pyramid, and this is something that I think a lot of people will lose and most people don't understand. They think, if anything, they think that to become a better rugby player, like, they have to be better at CrossFit, and they'll do like CrossFit and they'll do Metcons and they'll do these short, sharp 20-minute workouts that are really, really tough. And then they're going to get to rugby and they're going to gas out after the first half or towards the second half. Or they'll do their normal weight sessions, but they're going to keep adding in extra kettlebell stuff at the end. Or they'll do kettlebell work, you know, for 30 minutes or whatever. And then they're going to get to rugby and they're going to see that that didn't really work out. They're kind of fitter, but they're either sore or they just can't last 80 minutes or they can't perform that high intensity, because that's not how rugby is done. Rugby is done really, really high intensity, then with a lot of rest. So you've got to get better aerobically, and then you've got to get bigger and stronger, or at least have, you know, more muscle to allow yourself to perform better in those short movements, to give yourself the potential to be bigger or to be stronger and to be more explosive in those movements. So it's not something that it's not something that short Metcon workouts, CrossFit type workouts are actually going to benefit you. And if you spend this whole time doing CrossFit, yes, you'll be quote unquote fitter and you'll be in the quote unquote shape of your life, but you're going to have a rude awakening when it comes back to when you actually get back onto the field, because you'll realize that you can perform well for 20 minutes or you can perform well at like that 70, 80% intensity for a long time. And you've not been able to do that before. But is that going to help you at rugby? I would suggest it's not. I would suggest you're better off really working your low and slow, your 5Ks, your 10Ks, your low intensity steady state stuff, or your just low intensity stuff by doing tempos. Then I would work, you know, whatever you can to build muscle, build strength outside of that. In the long term, if you do that for a year, Jesus, you're going to be such a better athlete come next August or next July, whenever preseason starts or whenever we start to get back into normalcy and we could do rugby again. Doing CrossFit stuff isn't going to help. It's going to make you feel like you're working really hard whilst you're doing it. And again, that's what keeps it kind of motivating, but it's not going to give you the benefit on the rugby field. That's why I said set yourself out a physique goal, to bring it out full circle, because you can work the areas that are going to long-term make you a better rugby player whilst keeping yourself accountable, whilst having a short-term goal of, right, I'm really going to build, like, get the physique I want. That's going to keep you engaged for the next few months and going to keep you really understanding that you are improving. All right, I will say once again, 5-star reviews, thumbs up if you've made it all the way to the end. If you're on the YouTubes, this is where this is where you need to ask a question, because it really does help the show. The comments, I can't tell you how much getting comments on these live streams does push up the algorithm for YouTube. Really does help us out. We don't have any questions on the Facebook live stream anymore, so we will leave it there. Thank you guys so much for joining. I'm not sure if I will be there for the next Friday's live stream, but if I am, I'll post it up on the Rugby Muscle Athletes Facebook page. If you are watching anywhere else, or if you're listening, if you just type in Rugby Muscle Athletes, you'll be able to join the group, ask all the questions that you want, have the interaction that you want, and get all the benefits that come along with joining a Facebook community of other guys, committed amateurs, as I'm starting to call them, who want to improve their rugby, but also maintain some semblance of a social life and a, their normal life. You're not a full-time athlete, but you want to get the best out of you you can. Check out the Rugby Physical Preparation Pyramid on YouTube as well for all of that. And other than that, have a good week or weekend, and I'll see you guys in the next one. All right, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed that episode of the Rugby Muscle Podcast, then I've got a quick little request and a potential prize giveaway for you if you do said request. All I want you to do is go to Apple Podcasts and type up a 5-star review. Just your general opinions of the podcast would be great feedback, but also helps us reach higher rankings, get more exposure, allow me to attract more guests and devote more time to developing a better all-around podcast experience for you. All you have to do, once again, is go and give us a 5-star review on whatever podcast service you use. Let me know you've got it, and then every single week I'll be selecting one review to give away a free prize. That free prize will be either 1 free month of Team Rugby Muscle, that's our world-class strength condition program app delivered directly to your phone, or if that doesn't interest you, then we've got 1 free consultation where I'll go over your training program, your nutrition, and advise you how to best plan for your goals. Even if none of those things interest you, it's still doing me a solid and helping the podcast grow by going and giving us a 5-star review. There's no real excuse. It takes like 1 minute and that helps the show out exponentially. So I'd really appreciate it if you could do that. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one.